This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
We are, though, going to be headed to our next story.
Lima 19, or the Langkawi International Maritime and Aerospace Exhibition, just went by, and we thought it'd be interesting to examine the statement made by Prime Minister Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad at the event. He said that Malaysia's arms industry will be developed to spur the country's economy, much like the national car industry.
So he went on to say that the development of weapons and arms required knowledge of tech and modern systems of control, which are the skills that we need to learn if we want to become a developed country. At the same time, he also called on Malaysian talents overseas to come back. That is a perennial call to help develop the defence and aviation industries.
Now, on the NST, Deputy Defence Minister Liu Chin Tong wrote an opinion piece. He said that while our defence industry has come very far since Lima, the very first Lima that we had, it hasn't developed far enough. He said that Malaysia lacks exportable brands and products, and added that most Malaysians in the industry are commission agents or postmen who sell arms as a local agent to the Defence Ministry and the Malaysian Armed Forces.
So we thought that it would be interesting to delve a little bit more into this industry, which I'm not sure a lot of us have thought of. I certainly haven't given it a lot of thought, although what is the potential, right?
Yeah.
Where is this going? So we're going to be speaking after this with Rizwan Rahmat, who's the principal defence analyst and writer for Jane's by IHS Market, and we'll be back for that. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Bruce Freddie Morrissey, BFM 89.9.
Hello, everyone. You are listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Kelvin. We are talking right now about the defence industry and whether or not there's sort of unplumbed economic potential or learnings that we could be taking from that if we were more active in it. We have on the line Rizwan Rahmat, Principal Defence Analyst and writer for Jane's by IHS Market. Rizwan, thanks for joining us. So how important is a country's arms industry and what does it actually contribute?
All right. Okay. Needless to say, in times of war, an indigenous ability to manufacture weapons, to manufacture aircraft and weapon systems, platforms, is very important because during a war, you may be blockaded by the enemy, you may be denied the source of raw materials and stuff like that. So to have an indigenous weapons capability is extremely important in times of war. But I think what is important in times of peace is the kind of jobs that will be generated, because for the arms industry, it is a very heavily R&D focused, R&D intensive industry, and the research and development activities that go on when somebody researches a particular weapon or a particular platform can spin off into something useful that can be applied into other industries, for example, telecommunications, infrastructure, material science. I think these are all areas that will benefit from research that are being done into weapons.
What kind of jobs does it create if we were to start investing more in the defence industry?
I think you're going to see a lot more research and development staff being employed. I think you're going to see a lot more academics being employed because not only scientists, people who dabble in applied science are required for an arms industry, but also the research part. I think the academics are going to find themselves a lot busier to research the kind of requirements that's required for the Malaysian arms defence industry.
So, you also attended the Langkawi International Maritime and Aerospace Exhibition 2019, a long way of saying Lima 19. Our Deputy Defence Minister Liu Chin Tong said that on his visitation of two-thirds of the booths there, Malaysia's presence felt lacking. What was your experience like with it?
I think Malaysian presence is definitely there in terms of quantity, but I would comment that in terms of quality, perhaps, what is missing is the presence of the Malaysian industry who are doing it on their own, on an indigenous basis. I think what if you were to look around Lima, I've been to past Lima shows before, and I would say that my observation is Malaysian arms or Malaysian military equipment manufacturers rely a lot on foreign partners to produce the kind of things they are producing today. So I think where is the absence? I feel that there is a lack of original product being showcased by Malaysian themselves. I think that is one area that can be improved for future shows.
What are your thoughts on progress shown by Malaysia, if any?
I think the progress is not much compared to their regional peers. I think it's understandable. We are seeing, relatively speaking, a lack of investments into the Malaysian defence budget itself. I think we are aware that the Malaysians are currently awaiting the delivery of their fighter jets, which have been, you know, the process has been delayed for more than 10 years. So I think the lack of a viable or the lack of a very visible pipeline of defence acquisition is putting a wet blanket over R&D, over procurement efforts in the country. So I think that's one of the reasons why Malaysian defence companies are not flourishing as much as you want them to.
And at the moment, what would you say is lacking in our defence industry and what should we be focusing on?
So I think the Malaysian defence industry traditionally has been hampered by a combination of low military R&D, a lack of a coherent industrial strategy by the government, and very modest government ambitions, which translates into modest results. And but I think the most important factor that I would like to highlight is the dearth of local skills. You know, I have figures here that says that the number of research scientists per 10,000 workers in Malaysia's labour force remain below 20 at the moment. Although, you know, the country has long-term aims of having at least 100 research scientists per 10,000 jobs in the labour force by 2020. So I think from my data, the Malaysian students, I think, still prefer the softer aspects in education, for example, arts, social science, religion, and a lack of interest by students in Malaysia generally for STEM subjects, the science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. So I think a key thrust for the government in pursuit of having an indigenous arms industry is to first rekindle that interest for science, technology and mathematics among the younger Malaysians.
From a global perspective, how big are we in the defence industry?
Not significant, I would say, because you know, there isn't a notable defence export of Malaysia that I can highlight in comparison to its peers. So I would say not a very significant number.
Right, and with that in mind, what can we do to match the defence industries of other countries?
Well, Malaysia has been having a lot of collaboration with the French in the area of shipbuilding. You know, the Malaysians were working on the French Naval Group on the submarines, the Scorpène submarines, and now they are working on the same contractor for the littoral combat ship. So I think this is an area that a lot of R&D, a lot of work, a lot of training and transfer of technology has been happening. So this is one area where I think they could capitalize on, get that particular shipbuilding knowledge from the French and perhaps develop it into something that is exportable one day.
Rizwan, what do you expect to see next from our defence industry?
Yeah, the new government has made it very clear that they are going to be exercising fiscal responsibility. And my understanding is that a lot of defence contracts are going to be on the back burner. The major ones, you know, are not going to be announced until a few years down the road when the fiscal situation improves. So I think there's a spillover effect from this. A lack of meaningful contracts in the defence sector is going to lead to a lack of meaningful R&D in the defence sector overall. So, you know, that's going to be an unfortunate effect of this exercise that's being undertaken by the Malaysian government presently.
Rizwan, thanks for that. That was Rizwan Rahmat, Principal Defence Analyst and writer for Jane's by IHS Market. If you have any thoughts on our, you know, beefing up our defence industry and kind of starting to match the big guys and how that might contribute to learnings, let us know. You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. In the meantime, we are still receiving messages on the subject of basically, what do you think the government, you know, what do you think the government's managed to achieve in the last year that they've been in power? We are rapidly approaching that 1 year mark, mm-hmm. so we thought it would be as good a time as any to revisit. And also, what do you want to see them prioritize moving forward? We have this message from Kay.
I wish my government will enact laws to make it illegal for employers to ask job applicants' salary so that salary negotiations will not be lopsided. More talents will stay local and talents can eventually earn up to their potential.
I think we should investigate actually this whole notion of how you negotiate salaries
yeah.
and the whole process of doing a job interview. It's something that we've been skirting around quite a bit recently on the show. We've talked about applying for jobs. We've talked about how hard it can be, but we haven't actually talked about the actual stuff that goes into negotiating your salary and the spoken and unspoken things that go into you getting or not getting a job or a salary, really.
Yeah, and, you know, addressing, I guess, some of the pay gaps that may come on based on, well, your gender, your whatever else, that you maybe are in different positions of power based on what you can negotiate.
True. Ayman says, good job so far for a new government, especially for not getting media in trouble for holding public opinion discussions like this. Ayman, fingers crossed, suggests for them to focus head-on in the space industry, not just aviation, before the window for new players close in the cheap commercial launch market. The rocket will support if well-educated and informed, just like how the new tobacco bill will be. We need to secure the future past 2020 and post GE15. And we've also had this from Fendi.
As their voter, I'm disappointed with Pakatan because turns out they actually may overall be worse than Barisan. Lots of stuff, but first they should admit that they were politicizing GST to help overthrow the previous government. They brought the outdated SST, but it hasn't reduced prices of goods. In fact, the opposite happened. Worse, they've now lost substantial revenue and resort to selling assets while businesses now enjoy evading tax with SST. GST wasn't the problem. It was the implementation and enforcement. Pakatan should at least admit it. Ironic that all U-turns they made, they didn't consider maintaining a better tax system.
That last sentence is a bit of a kicker, I have to say, because when we know for a fact that those U-turns have been made about things that were not less in gravity, but were more sort of more sort of conceptual in nature, right? When we're talking about things like the ICERT, the tax is, you know, ringgit and cents. It's right there, and yet no U-turn was made, no fault was ever conceded at all.
I wonder then with the GST and SST in particular, whether they read the room wrong. Sure, the people were asking for lower cost of living, and I guess the SST and GST being the simple problems that we could play around with, we tried to do that, right? And that was the silver bullet. But it turns out that it really wasn't. It was not the best idea to go through with that system.
Sanil says, sometimes you have to take a leap of faith first. The trust part comes later. We took the leap of faith by voting for Pakatan Harapan. Now we have to learn to trust them. And we have also got this from Kumar.
As someone who voted Pakatan, it's important for us to keep criticizing the new government and hold them accountable now instead of excusing them by comparing them to the low bar set by Barisan. Lest we have the same conversation in 3 years' time. The price of freedom is eternal vigilance, especially for an unexperienced government being led by a self-serving leader. Priority should be on, number one, the reform agenda articulated by others like Nurul Izzah. Two, commit to minimum wage set benchmarks and ensure wage increases across the board. Number three, electoral reform, no party hopping, and bring back local government elections to change the political landscape. Lastly, in reference to Lima, please, please do not turn our country into a weapons and arms manufacturer. And that came through from Christian.
I wonder whether, you know, the thing is, of course, if you ask me on gut feel, it just feels so wrong to say, yeah, let's become a weapons and arms manufacturer. That feels good. But I wonder how much learnings we could get from the industry, from participating in the industry. It's the same argument we make for the flying car.
Yeah.
That, you know, in participating in it, we're going to gain learnings. We're going to get things that we couldn't otherwise get, you know, and we won't be left behind. But it seems like too high a price to pay. Eric says, when it comes to the defense industry, we lacked R&D, not aggressive enough to require technology transfers from foreign partners. Same goes with the automotive industry. We lacked aggressiveness to ask for that transfer of technology. Thank you, everybody, for those messages. After the 7:30 news, it's going to be Skip Intro. We talk about that doozy of a movie that is the Motley Crue biopic, The Dirt. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.